Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. But I want to start with a question. And that question is simply this: why should you believe in hell? And I want to give you, as it were, an alliterated answer. And the reason I want to do that is so that you can remember the information. We're talking about hell, not just in an academic sense. We're talking about hell and why we should believe in hell, because it is a future reality. There are three basic things that I would say in terms of why one should believe in hell. The first is that Christ, the creator of the cosmos, clearly communicated hell's irrevocable reality. So you can remember that C, Christ. Christ communicated that hell is an irrevocable reality. Second, let me say this. The concept of choice, choice is the second C, just for memory purposes, demands we believe in hell. In other words, hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. The third C, well, it's common sense. And common sense dictates that there must be a hell. Because without hell, the wrongs of Hitler's Holocaust and many Holocausts since, large and great, would never be righted. And justice would be impugned if, after slaughtering 6 million Jews, Hitler merely died with no eternal consequences. The ancients knew better than to think such a thing. So Christ, the creator of the cosmos, choice, and common sense dictates that there must be a hell. Unfortunately, common sense has given way to credulity in our epoch of time. Common sense distinctions between good and evil, well, they've not only been blurred, they have been virtually obliterated. The Russian Revolution, fomented by Vladimir Lenin in 1917, a social revolution that led to the largest scale massacre of a domestic society in human history, it was romanticized in 1971 by John Lennon. Lennon not only immortalized a secular humanist experiment that endeavored to establish a godless civilization, but then he implored devotees to imagine reality without heaven or hell. Common sense dictates that without hell, there's no need for a savior. And little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity if there is no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's simply no need for a Savior. As much as we might wish to think that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. So again, Christ, choice, common sense demand that there must be an eternal hell. Far from rubbing out the crowning jewels of creation, Christ affords humanity the freedom to choose between redemption and rebellion. Indeed, I would say it would be a horrific evil to think that God would create human beings with freedom of choice and then capriciously annihilate some of them because of their choices. Far be it from God. Will not the judge of the entire earth do what is just? Those who spurn the grace that could have been theirs will be rewarded justly with what they deserve. And that, again, is why we must, as biblical believers, believe in hell. I've written about this in my latest book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences. It is available for your gift to the ministry all this month. Time is running out, so check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants are standing by, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Tim. He's listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I had a question for you. So I hear you guys are talking about hell a lot. And what I wanted to know was, I hear some pastors say hell is the separation from God. And then I hear other pastors say that hell is God pouring out his wrath on people. So I was just wondering if you could clarify that for me. And I'm actually going to hang up so I can hear your answer. So thank you for your ministry and look forward to what you have to say.
You got it, Tim. Thank you for your question. Let me give you three answers to that question. The first answer is that from the biblical text, you can rightly conclude that hell is everlasting destruction. That's precisely what the biblical text tells us in places like 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It is to be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Destruction, by the way, in that verse and in that sense, should not be confused with annihilation or extinction. What's in view is desolation, as when the Lord made the land of Israel a desolate waste from the desert to Diabla. And though the land continued to exist, the idea is that its fruitfulness was destroyed. And that's the way it will be with the unrighteous. The second answer I would give you, and these are all conjoined in terms of the point that's being made, is the Bible talks about hell as eternal torment. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks of a place of torment experienced by a rich man. And that's a torment that, in some sense, is codified by being away from the loving grace of God. That's precisely what the torment of hell is. We were created for fellowship with God, and the torment of hell is the deprivation of that very thing. The third thing I would say about hell is that it is the erasure of the image of God in fallen humanity. The glorious reality of the image of God, resplendently restored in the redeemed, therefore, stands in sober contrast to the ghastly reality of the image of God removed from the reprobate. The image that was splintered in the fall will be shattered in the forever. And while the redeemed are daily being transformed into the likeness of God with ever-increasing glory, the opposite is true of those who will go to hell. In fact, the imago Dei, or the image of God, is daily fading in those destined for darkness. So the language of everlasting destruction evokes the horror of what it will be for the impenitent to everlastingly experience the erasure of the image of God, to be, as it were, brute beasts, creatures of instinct born only to be caught and destroyed, as Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 2, to be springs without water, mist driven by a storm, to be those for whom blackest darkness is reserved. So when the image of God is extinguished, all that remains is wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. And we can look at earthly examples like Nero or Mao or Stalin, and then think we've plumbed the depth of human depravity, and yet they are but a glimpse of what it will be when the flickering flame of the image of God is extinguished, and then darkness ensues. So in sum, hell is everlasting destruction, it's eternal torment, and it is the erasure of the image of God in fallen humanity. It is the absence of the very thing for which we were created, loving relationships with God, and of course with fellow human beings. And that is subverted in the fall. Of course, God has provided all of us a way to escape hell's irrevocable reality, and that is to receive what Jesus Christ did to pay our penalty so that we can be reconciled to Him, not only for time, but also for eternity. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Carlos. He's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, KKIM. Hi, Carlos.
How you doing, Frank? Glad to get to speak with you. Long-time listener, and I hope God keeps on blessing you with some more wisdom and understanding.
Thank you.
I have one question about a radio ministry called Concepts of Faith by Charles Capp. What is your opinion about this ministry?
Well, I've actually written about Charles Capp's because he is a heretical teacher. He's part of what's called the Word of Faith movement. He believes that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. In fact, he believes even God had to exercise faith. So God is a faith God in that He has to exercise faith, and faith is actually a force that, if you take His words to their logical conclusion, becomes greater than God Himself. So he is a false teacher, and again, I have an entire segment on Charles Capps because he's become so popular and prolific through his books and through his teachings that I included him in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
I do appreciate your input. I wasn't too far off from the opinion that you presented. Transfer me to see if I can get the book.
Yeah, just hang on, and someone will pick up in just a moment. And again, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, for everybody else listening in, is available. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Guy listening in St. Louis, Missouri next. He's listening KSIV. Hi, Guy.
Hello, Hank. I'm a first-time caller, and you just fascinate me with your knowledge that you have, and it's just fascinating. And God has really blessed you. And I know you were talking about hell, and I happen to work. You know, I love the guy. I happen to work with a Jehovah's Witness, and I don't understand how they can misinterpret what hell is. He talks like hell, like it's a piece of, you go into hell, you burn up like a piece of paper, poof, that's it, you're done. And how is it that they can misinterpret that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just Jehovah's Witnesses who write off hell as an error of apostate Christendom, but you look at Seventh-day Adventists, they agree with that point of view. In their view, the doctrine of hell stands in direct contradiction to divine revelation. And unfortunately, their views have now penetrated evangelical Christianity, and there are evangelical Christians who are writing books and communicating in various forums that hell simply is not a reality. And therefore, they posit various things as though hell doesn't exist, or that, as you mentioned, people are just annihilated. But annihilationism, I think, really is a horrifying thought. God does not rub out the crowning jewels of His creation, even if they have decided to live apart from His glory and grace. He continues to sustain them in existence, though they have wanted no part of a relationship with Him. And that's what hell is. It is separation from God for all eternity. And if you think about the fact that we were created for relationship with God, you get a picture of how horrible it would be to be deprived of that very thing.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, definitely. And it just makes me sad, you know, for them and whoever else may believe that way. It's just unfortunate that they could be misguided that way. And, that, you know, that's where the enemy comes in and confuses. I don't know how in the world that, you know, it just happens. You know, the enemy is as busy as God is, but God's more powerful. And but yet, it's a spiritual war going on, and the blindness that he puts on people to just steer them away from the truth.
Yeah, it's just another reason we always have to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. With gentleness and with respect, we are coming to Station Break. Afterlife deals with the subject not only of heaven, but also with hell and near-death experiences. A lot of people come back from near-death experiences and tell us things that are decidedly unbiblical. We need to know how to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light. Be right back.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times, ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Director Peter Jackson is making not one, but three films based on The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien's classic prequel to The Lord of the Rings. If, as Tolkien's son Christopher accuses, Jackson is commercializing the story, it would reek with irony, because The Hobbit is above all a story about greed and the overcoming of greed. Other topics include the troubling truth about Bonhoeffer's theology, Prometheus, finding God in outer space, communicating truth through humor, ridicule, and emotions, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI
or subscribe online at equip.org. Our culture's fascination with ghosts and near-death experiences shows that millions of people long to know more about their eternal future, but most are looking for answers in the wrong places. Your support helps CRI share the Bible's truth about life, death, and eternity. And to thank you for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you a copy of Hank's exciting new book, Afterlife: What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now to give your gift and request your copy of Afterlife. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go back to another caller, I want to tell you something that's on my heart, and that is the issue of funding for this ministry. We carried a small deficit over from January into February. At the end of January, I sort of put out an SOS and said that we were substantially behind in our giving, and people responded to that, but we still carried a small deficit from January into February. And now, as we are only 2 days away from the end of this month, we not only have that deficit, but some accumulated deficit from February as well. And so I want to once again put out an SOS to ask people who have some of God's resources to invest those resources in this one-of-a-kind ministry. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion, and we have immediate access to those resources on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also do so via the mail, of course, and the best way to do that is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And the third way of doing that is 888-7000-CRI via the telephone. If you should get a busy signal, please be patient or write us or go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. But we really do need some of God's people who He has blessed with resources to invest in this ministry. And no amount is too small, whether it's $15 or it's $50 or $50,000, whatever the amount, that's between you and the Lord. But we need many people to respond to this SOS. And again, for your gift, I would be pleased to send you Afterlife, just as a token of my thanks and a way of equipping you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Andrew in St. Louis, Missouri. He's listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. I just want to say I've been listening to you since I was like in kindergarten. So.
Well, that's a horrible thing to say.
I was wondering.
That was a joke, by the way.
Talking about how.
Yeah.
I was wondering how demons got their names and, like, roles. Like, I was watching this movie, and there was a real demon called Abizu or whatever, who's the taker of children, I think. How do demons, you know, get their roles like that? How do you, like, become the taker of children or Satan's right-hand man? Or
yeah. Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of sensationalism. There's a lot of sophistry and, unfortunately, even script torture. I coined that word for those who are torturing the Word of God. The fascination with demons in our culture at large has even led to a robust deliverance movement within evangelicalism. And of course, one would be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever your personal problem, whether it's depression or anxiety or substance addiction or some of the things you allude to, there's always an exorcism ministry available that will happily claim expertise for dealing with that particular demon, and they give you a bonus. It's like selling Ginzu knives, and the value added is, in this case, the value added is that you are not, for the most part, held morally responsible for whatever the problem is. It's an indwelling demon, and getting rid of the demon is the key to moral and psychological redemption. This this paradigm of spiritual warfare is completely unbiblical. What is biblical, however, is to put on the full armor of God that Paul delineates in Ephesians chapter 6, which does give us some kind of a sense that there is a hierarchy of demons, but we're not really told exactly how that's categorized. I mean, we can even deduce that, a logical, theological deduction, from the fact that Satan is the anointed cherub, the leader in the rebellion in the heavenly hosts. So, yeah, I think we can say there's a hierarchy, but much of what is said in terms of delineating that hierarchy is just rank speculation.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, what I was alluding to in Ephesians chapter 6 is Paul talks about principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are theological deductions that we can make, but to sensationalize this or to torture Scripture and try to make it say something that it doesn't say, such that you get a demon of tobacco or a demon of lust, simply is unbiblical, unnecessary, and not helpful to the Christian faith. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Dan, Sioux City, Iowa, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon, Hank.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for your ministry and taking my call. The Hebrews Roots Movement. You know about that? And of course you do.
Yeah, you know, it's based on this belief that the Christian church has departed from the true Hebrew teachings of the Scripture and in its place embraced pagan philosophy. That's the claim. But the claim is based on the notion that the Mosaic law is still in effect and it's binding on all believers. The problem with that is Hebrews, written to Hebrews, says exactly the opposite. For example, if we were to go back to even temple, priest, and sacrifice, the writer of Hebrews says that's tantamount to trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And it's crucifying him all over again. In fact, it's nullifying his mediatorial work on the cross. So
when the Galatians, just read a little bit of Galatians, he could probably get that pretty easily, couldn't
yes, he? Yes, 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 yes. And this is a point that's constantly made, and you're precisely right. I mean, if you look at the New Testament writers, they're pointing out that God has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And he did that, of course, on the tree. And on the tree, he atoned for our sins, and he fulfilled all the types and shadows that come before. So to go back to a theocratic kingdom, and then all the laws that were part of that theocratic kingdom, is completely out of line with biblical teaching. So the Hebrew Roots Movement is saying we've embraced pagan philosophy, but in fact what they've done is they've gone back to types and shadows, which is an abomination.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. You know, I kind of had a grasp on it. There's another truck driver that kind of got me interested in it, and then I had a cousin that was into that, and then I did a little bit of research, but I wanted to talk to you about it. In Ephesians chapter, where it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Boy, for somebody who is not a theologian, you know, most Christians are not going to be theologians. You're a pastor, aren't you?
Well, I'm a host of a radio broadcast. I don't pastor a church.
Yeah, I heard you say something about pastoral care, too. But anyways, that's beside the point. Anyway, you know, Christians, you know, We're born as children, and we're, of course, supposed to desire the pure milk of the Word, but my goodness, all these voices out here, and all these, how are we supposed to, you know, it takes a lifetime.
Well, it does, but let me just give you some comfort here. There are main and plain things in Scripture, and they're so simple that a child can understand them. but there are also the deep things of the Word of God that you rightly characterize as something that we could drown in. I mean, it's just beyond us. And I can tell you that I have been focused on studying the Word of God for decades. I've been memorizing the Word of God. I've been doing this show for over 2 decades. And yet, the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know and the full scope of what could be known. So the Bible is an inexhaustible treasure house. But we still can get a grasp on those main and plain things, the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And that's why I say so often on the show, an essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Howard Everett Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Howard.
I wanted to ask you, it's very interesting. You're talking about the loss of the erasure of the image of God that a person experiences in hell. Does what Nebuchadnezzar went through for 7 years, being turned into a wild beast, does that have any connection with that loss of the image of God?
You know, I think that's a brilliant observation on your part, because that is a picture, but it's only a faint reflection of what it will be. Because while we are yet in the flesh, we still have the flickering flame, as it were, of the Imago Dei, or the image of God. In hell, that flame will be erased, and it will be snuffed out, as it were. But I think the fact that you thought about that is quite brilliant, because it is, I think, a very appropriate picture of what happens when you are given over to your own desires, your own pride. So I think it's a poignant portrayal, and I actually had never thought about that until you brought it up.
Thanks a lot, Hank. Bye.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Paul. He's listening in South Point, Pennsylvania, Bot Radio. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, the question I have is, what does it take to be saved? And the reason why I'm asking is because I've been praying, been reading my Bible, and I'll come across things like I hear on your show on the commercial, where it says the road to hell is wide and broad and the path to heaven is narrow and hard. And it's the hard part that throws, when I hear him say hard, it throws me.
Yeah. Well, you know, those are the words of Jesus Christ. He said in the Sermon on the Mount precisely that the road to hell is broad, the road to heaven is narrow, and very few enter through it. What it takes to be saved is to realize that you're a sinner, to repent of your sin, which means a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. It's a willingness to turn and go in a different direction, to follow Jesus Christ, and then to take up your cross and daily be conformed to His image. So it's not just some words, it's not an insurance policy. It means that you are willing to follow after Jesus Christ. If you think about the early Christians, when they were baptized, it was oftentimes a death warrant, because they were commanded to say, Caesar is Lord, but they were instead saying, Christ is Lord. So they were willing to face all the indignities that humanity could foist upon them, because they loved Jesus Christ and they wanted Him to be Lord of their lives, not only in time but also in eternity. So it's not easy believism. It is taking up your cross and daily following Him. I think that we have taught a cheap gospel of grace in place of a genuine commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
If heaven is for real, who gets to go there? What happens to those who have never heard of Jesus? Is hell for real? In Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, Hank tackles these and other questions about your eternal future with his no-nonsense biblical answers. Afterlife is our thank you when you support CRI's broadcast and other outreaches today. Request your copy with your gift by visiting equip.org or calling 888-7000-CRI. And thank you for making more ministry possible. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent New Testament translations intended for Muslims avoid familial language for the Trinity, such as Father and Only Begotten Son. Wycliffe and other mission field Bible translators worry that such terms scandalize Muslim readers, so they've produced Muslim idiom translations that avoid such renderings. But such compromise in translation is neither warranted nor wise. Other topics include A Thief in the Night, the Christian ethic at the heart of The Hobbit, Can Cloud Atlas Give True Hope for a Better World, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times. Ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Director Peter Jackson is making not one, but three films based on The Hobbit, J.R.R. Tolkien's classic prequel to The Lord of the Rings. If, as Tolkien's son Christopher accuses, Jackson is commercializing the story, that would reek with irony, because The Hobbit is above all a story about greed and the overcoming of greed. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal reveals the Christian ethic at the heart of The Hobbit. Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lisa. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Yes, yes, it is wonderful to talk to you as well. I just wanted to thank you so much for Afterlife.
Mm.
Now, The Apocalypse Code is the only book I ever read in my life back to back to back to back to back over and over again, besides the Bible. But Afterlife, oh my God, tops that. It's unreal. I love it. It is good food to my soul.
Oh, Lisa, thank you.
Yes, and I want to encourage everybody to please get a couple copies of this book and pass it out, because this is some really good stuff. I really love it. I had a question because I'm not stuck on the chapter about hell, but I have read that one over and over again, too. And, you know, I have a question about the beast in Revelation, the 19th chapter, with in regards to the lake of fire. It says these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, talking about him and the false prophet that burns with sulfur. But then in verse 20, Satan, when he was finally defeated, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And it looks like the beast made it into the lake of fire before Satan did. So will the beast and the false prophet, will they be resurrected and judged? Or have they already been judged and they won't be bodily resurrected anymore?
That is a very good question. And here's how you should think about this. If someone were to die outside of Christ today, they would be in very much the same situation as the rich man that Jesus Christ described in Luke chapter 16. He was in torment, and that torment is described in terms of flames and being apart from Abraham's bosom or paradise or the presence of God. So there are metaphors that are used then by Jesus to describe the torment. And those same metaphors are being now used in Revelation. But if you were to die today outside of Jesus Christ, you would only experience an earnest of what is to come. And that's why I think your question is so good. There is a time coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So if we think of the beast, for example, the beast will be resurrected because, again, Jesus said, all who are in the graves will come out. What that means is, though the beast is now in torment apart from the presence of God, and that torment is prefigured with flames, there will come a time when the soul of the beast returns to the body of the beast, and the beast is resurrected. Now, the beast is not a beast in the sense that he's an animal, but the beast is a way, or the description of the beast in Revelation is a way of talking about not what he looks like, but what he is like, the evil, the deprivation, and so forth. So he'll be resurrected, and of course, let me just throw this in as a side as well. The beast not only stands for an individual, but also stands for a whole multitude of people who follow the beast. So there's a sense in which the false prophet is emblematic of apostate Israel, and the beast is emblematic of apostate Rome, or evil in general as it applies to people throughout every epoch of time. But the short answer to your question, having said all of this by way of prologue, is yes, there will be a resurrection in which everyone who has ever lived will be resurrected, and some will be resurrected to eternal life, and some will be resurrected to eternal torment, and that torment is variously described as blackest darkness forever, or a lake of burning sulfur, or flames, but all metaphors pointing out how horrible it will be to be separated from God for all eternity.
Okay, so what you're saying is that in that particular context, the beast is actually the system that was thrown into the lake of fire.
No, yes and no. I love the way you just phrased it, by the way. It's not only the system emblematic of apostasy, because we not only have the beast, but the woman who rides the beast, so you have apostate Israel and apostate Rome. So it is apostate systems that are talked about, but actually they are emblematic of real flesh and blood people as well. So, for example, in the first century epic, if you think of the beast, you think of Nero. And Nero is described. In fact, he dressed up as a beast and used to pillage believers in the most grotesque and horrific ways. But the point is, yes, real individuals apart from God, who are also now apart from their bodies, are going to be resurrected. So their bodies will rise, their souls will return to their bodies, and they will then be judged and then thrown into the lake of fire. And we see this later on in Revelation as well. For example, if you go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So Hades, the abode of the dead, is an earnest of what is to come. There's going to be a time when death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death, eternal separation from the love and grace of God. And then John concludes by saying, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire.
Yes. Thank you once again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody, get the book. Afterlife. It is a treat and a treasure. Thank you so much, Hank.
Lisa, bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bruce in Syracuse, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. It's a thrill to talk to you, Hank.
Thank you.
I was led to the Lord when I was 16. I'm 66 now, but I finally left the LDS Church when I was 25 years ago. But anyway, I'm speaking to a lady when I go out to eat at Golden Corral, and she used to belong to the Worldwide Church of God and Herbert W. Armstrong. And I understand that you converted his son. Is that correct?
No, I was involved in the transformation to some extent. I worked with Joseph de Koch, who was the pastor general in charge of the Worldwide Church of God after the death of Herbert W. Armstrong, and then with his son, Joseph de Koch Jr., who became the pastor general after the death of his father. In fact, I wrote the foreword to his book, Transformed by Truth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My question is, we were speaking one day about there's no chance after resurrection or after the second coming of Christ for salvation or repentance of sin. And I come out and turned on your radio show, and that's what you were speaking about. And do you have any scriptures that I can give this dear lady that's stayed in this church, this Worldwide Church of God? It's a different name now, but she still believes the thing Herbert W. Armstrong.
Yeah, what happened when the leadership of the Worldwide Church of God became believers in Jesus Christ and gave up all the cultic trappings of Armstrongism, there were still splinter groups, and that's what you're describing. People were galvanized around those splinter groups, and of course, Joseph de Koch has had a prayer and a mission to reach those who were galvanized around these splinter groups. But he's had a tremendous ministry and impact on the lives of so many people. I run into them everywhere I go, and they're very thankful for the courageous stand that he took, along with many others like Mike Frizzell and just many others who took really courageous stands at that time. But anyway, the notion that we have in Scripture is it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Not only so, there's nothing in Scripture that leads to the slightest notion that there's a second chance after death. We are called to make a decision for Jesus Christ in this lifetime, which is to say, the Holy Spirit woos us. We not only are wooed by the light of creation and the light of conscience, but we are given the opportunity to receive the light of Christ if we respond to the light we have been given. If we don't respond to that light, in this lifetime, then God ratifies our decision for all eternity.
Okay.
So there's nothing in Scripture that suggests that there's a time after death in which we can receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the resurrection.
Okay. Yeah, and then that leads on to other things about people that died before Christ, and I've explained that to her. And so there's not a lot of Scripture that refers to after you're dead that you
have no chance. Yeah, there's no Scripture whatsoever that suggests that there is a second chance after death.
So we're going on that, plus you're assigned once to die, then the judgment.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, it's been a thrill to talk to you. I listened to Walter Martin when he was alive when I was LDS, and he helped convince me, plus a lady that left the LDS Church convinced me and led me to the Lord Jesus. But my wife is still LDS. We both went on missions. But if in your time of silence, could you pray for my wife, Debbie?
Let me pray for her right now. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to bow our heads and be immediately in your presence. And Lord, I thank you for Bruce and for his commitment to you. But now I pray for Debbie. I pray, Lord, that you would bring people and circumstances into her life so that she may come to a true valuation of things. And Lord, we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you, Bruce. We are coming to the end of this broadcast. I'm going to stay right here for next hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. A lot of you are hanging on right now, so if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in for the next hour, I'll be answering your questions. So dial this number, 888-ASK-HANK, during the next hour, and I will answer those questions during the next hour. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Even with the Bible available on our cell phones and laptops, scripture memorization is still the best way to carry God's Word with you at all times, ready to meditate on it and share when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise, as God directs in Deuteronomy 6:7. So nurture your memorization with the new book by renowned pastor and speaker O.S. Hawkins, The Joshua Code, 52 scripture verses every believer should know. Hawkins' tips and deep exposition will help each verse impact your life forever. The Joshua Code is our thank you for your gift to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resources. Your generosity helps bring God's Word into thousands of homes every day. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife,
what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.